When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to another edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians fall late in an exhibition spring training game on Wednesday at Goodyear Ballpark. They lose to the Arizona Diamondbacks, give up five runs in the eighth and ninth inning combined, and lose the game 8-6 after rallying to take a lead late. But really, more concerned about what went on in the early part of the game with Joey Cantillo starting on the mound. Went two innings, gave up a run, looked pretty solid, gave him a good outing there. So nice to see a guy who we haven't really seen a lot of in Joey Cantillo go out there and show that he can get big league hitters up.
Yeah, Cantillo is one of the guys they acquired from San Diego in the Mike Clevenger deal a while ago, and just a really a solid, polished left-hander. Joe really has a serious intent on the mound, and he looked good. He's got some good velo. He struck out. He only struck out one guy. But his problem has always been control. He threw two wild pitches yesterday, but still he looked locked in, and he's really impressed the new manager, Stephen Vogt.
Yeah, and that's really what we need to see from Cantillo, is to take that next step forward and make himself an option when it comes to being sort of that depth and that next guy ready at the AAA level this year. Last year, pretty decent year at AAA, but didn't really force his way into the conversation. The timing, I don't think, was right for him. Still a young guy, still he was drafted out of high school, so it takes a little while for a left-hander drafted out of high school to develop, and that's certainly been the case with Cantillo. Being the sort of the last guy in that group, like you mentioned, from the Mike Clevenger trade, pretty much everybody else who hadn't already made their major league debut yet with Cleveland, who came over in that trade, has already done so. He's sort of the last man standing out of that group, and you would expect that the timing is that he comes through at some point and gets a chance to show what he can do at the major league level this year. But this is a good first step, getting him out there on the mound and in a big league game and getting through a couple of innings there. Now he can just focus on getting stretched out and getting built up. And if he opens the season at AAA, he'll be an option at some point later on in the year. The other nice development, they continue to score runs. They put runs on the board. Jose Ramirez, an RBI double in the first inning. Gabriel Arias, an RBI single in the first inning. They scored two runs early, and Jose Ramirez looks like he's where Jose Ramirez needs to be, and it was nice to see Gabriel Arias get a run on the board as well.
Arias has swung the bat pretty well, Joe, for this for the early part of spring training. This is a guy that spent a month in Goodyear after the season, making sure that fractured right hand was okay. Then he went to Puerto Rico and played winter ball there. So he came to camp ready, ready to swing the bat, and ready to compete for that shortstop's job. You know, he's not in the lineup today. Brian Rocchio will get the start at shortstop, and that's a competition to keep your eye on.
Yeah, for sure. That both Rocchio and Arias have, you know, at least they're aware that the competition is on, and it's also, you know, interesting to just watch how they've been going about it. The other guy sort of in that mix, and maybe not at shortstop, but another guy that's competing is Tyler Freeman, and we saw him get a start in center field, and it didn't take long. I think only two batters before the ball found him out there. He made a nice running catch early in the game in the gap in left and right center field, going back on a ball. So Tyler Freeman showing his versatility. I think he's in the lineup today on the infield.
Yeah, you know, he is trying to win that utility job. I think there's, you know, kind of the wraps are off there. I don't think he's really, they don't look at him as a full-time shortstop, but they look at him as a guy that can move around at several different positions because they want to see his bat, Joe. I think that's what his calling card is. He's starting at third base today. It's his second start at third. He started at short, and like you said, he started in center field. Yesterday, you know, the outfield is kind of foreign territory for him. He's always been an infielder. He was drafted as an infielder, so that's an adjustment for him.
Yeah, and we'll see it as he continues to you know, get more at bats and more playing time this year. But you know, really, it's interesting. They want to see along with, they know that he can put the bat on the ball, they want to see that power continue to develop as well, and you know, giving him a chance to get out there, get a few more at bats under his belt will hopefully give them a better idea of, you know, where he's driving the ball, where he is, you know, with you know, producing runs, being able to do more in the run production game. That will be important for him as he progresses this year as well. The bullpen performed pretty well. We'll get to the guys that did well, but one of the you know, not so outstanding performances yesterday came from Scott Barlow, one of the newcomers. This is the day that it was announced that Trevor Stephan is going to be sidelined for 3 weeks, no throw, with bone bruising in his elbow. So he's probably going to be delayed coming out of camp this year. Puts a little more emphasis and a little more importance on Scott Barlow, especially in the early part of the season. They acquired Barlow for Angel De Los Santos in a trade with the Padres in the offseason. Barlow expected to come in and be one of those late-inning setup guys, veteran guy from Kansas City all those years that we saw him there. But, you know, he came out yesterday and had a bit of a rough outing, one inning, gave up some runs, gave up, I believe, five hits, including a home run, but was throwing mostly breaking pitches. And I don't know if that's part of a, you know, the way a veteran goes about his spring training. Maybe he says, hey, I'm going out here and today I'm working on the slider, or I'm working on the curveball, and I'm just going to throw that. And, you know, even big league hitters, if they know what's coming, they become that much better of a hitter in the box in spring training. What did you take away from Barlow's outing yesterday? And should we be concerned about anything after he struggled in his one inning of work?
I don't think we should be concerned, Joe. That was his second outing of the spring. He's a veteran guy. He knows how to get ready. Now, if this continues, yeah, there might be a red flag. But right now, he looked like a kind of a guy that just, you know, knows what he's doing, knows what he wants to accomplish. He was throwing some sliders that hung over the plate, and they got hit. You know, he's a kind of a reliever that, you know, he's not going to light up the radar gun. He goes about, you know, his job in the late innings a little differently when he throws the slider and his off speed pitches. So, you know, this is a guy that I think we've got to give him some time. He's a veteran, so he gets the benefit of the doubt for a while.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you, was does the velo concern you at all? Not just, you know, from right now where he is in terms of what he's throwing and how hard he's throwing, but, you know, as sort of his approach later on in the season. You're going to be out there in the late innings with guys like Sam Henches, who can get it up there in the mid to upper 90s, and obviously Emmanuel Clase, who's, you know, mid to upper 90s when he's going well. You know, he doesn't necessarily fit that profile right now. Is that an advantage for him, or is that something to be concerned about when he's not on the mound?
Well, he's, you know, he's pitched for a while in the big leagues. He's had success. You know, he saved over 50 games for the Royals. So whatever he's doing is working. And, you know, with you know, he's kind of made, perhaps he gives the offense, I mean the bullpen, a change of pace. You know, he's not kind of coming in there throwing 99 miles an hour. He you know, he throws a little, you know, he's his velo isn't, you know, is down from that. So you know, it's a change of pace. You know, the hitters can't, you know, kind of, you know, really home in on that fastball. So you know, I think that's probably, you know, what he does. And I think we just got the Guardians just have to give him time to you know, get into the flow of camp. And what he'll have, probably, I would imagine, 7, 8, 9 more, you know, maybe at least 5, 7 more appearances. So we'll see what he looks like, you know, in late March.
Some of those other guys in the bullpen yesterday came out, did throw scoreless innings and looked pretty good. A couple of names we're used to seeing. Nick Sandlin gave up a hit and struck, had one strikeout in one inning. Sam Henches had a walk, but a scoreless inning. And Eli Morgan, a strikeout in one scoreless inning. And Emmanuel Clase did strike out two in one scoreless inning. He had a nice solid outing, came right in after Cantillo and held the Diamondbacks scoreless. So, you know, at least those guys that we know who are going to be in the bullpen at the opening, on opening day at the start of the season, are, you know, look pretty good in their single outing yesterday. It wasn't until later in the game when some of the you know, the depth guys, the invitees, and the guys who came over from the minor league camp, you know, sort of gave up the runs there. Connor Gillespie and Juan Zapata in the 8th and 9th innings. Zapata gave up 6 hits, 4 runs earned, did strike out a batter, but that was the ball game when he basically couldn't get out of the 9th inning there, and the Diamondbacks scored 4 runs. But again, these games don't count. They don't count for anything. They don't matter. But don't tell that to Angel Martinez, who got on base 3 times. He had a couple of hits, looked pretty good. It was an error in the I believe in the 9th inning where he threw the ball away that sort of opened the door for some more runs, though. So young shortstop. Split time between Akron and the Clippers in Columbus. So, you know, just keep an eye on some of these young guys as they get into the games later, you know, they get a chance to sort of feel what it's like out there on a big league field. Speaking of feeling what it's like out there on a big league field, if you're tuned into our Guardian subtext, you already know we get you all of the inside information and all the changes, injuries, roster moves, updates. As soon as we find them out, we send them on to you directly to your phone. Don't have to mess with social media. It's $3.99 a month to subscribe. And if you go to cleveland.com/subtext, you can log in and sign up there or send a text message to 216-208-4346. And we'll get you the information on how to register for Guardians subtext. Poinsie, the rotation right now, as it stands, you've got Gavin Williams making his spring training debut today in Tempe against the Angels at Diablo Stadium. What can we expect from Gavin Williams in his first outing of the spring?
Yeah, Joe, I think you probably go 2 innings. You know, this you know, he will, you know, kind of start the you know, the rotation from last season. He'll start it off with today's start, then you know, Carrasco will go Friday, but then Bieber is scheduled to go Saturday. So you know, we'll and I would imagine we'll see Logan Allen and and Tanner Bibee next week sometime, and even perhaps Tristan McKenzie, who's due to throw a simulated game today. So, yeah, with Williams, you know, this is really his first Cactus League game. I don't think he pitched at all in spring training last year with the big league club, at least. So, you know, he came up last year along with Allen and Bibee and really kind of kept that rotation afloat. He's a big guy, a hard thrower. So it's going to be exciting to see him pitch against an Angels lineup.
Yeah, and that might have been a case of, hey, we don't want to bring Gavin Williams up and let him pitch in spring training, you know, in previous years, because if Tito or any of the guys get a look at him, they might want to keep him on the roster. And we've seen that in the past. Eventually they needed him anyways, but he was definitely targeted for AAA at this point last year. And you know, on a, he was, his ascent was pretty rapid through the minor league system as it stands. So speaking of guys, minor leaguers in camp, we saw Chase DeLauder in the lineup yesterday. He's in the starting lineup today in left field. And that's a little bit unusual for the Guardians to see a guy from the depth camp up in the starting lineup in a big league spring training game.
Yeah, Joe. I mean, to me, I don't think I can't remember that happening. A guy coming over from minor league camp and, you know, being placed in the lineup, you know, the starting lineup, you know, obviously, you know, it happens a lot where in the late innings, you know, guys come over from the minor league camp and fill in for the veterans. But not to start. I can't remember Francisco Lindor doing that. I can't remember that happening with Jose Ramirez. You know, maybe it's you know, new manager, new philosophy. But very interesting move. And you know, we saw DeLauder, you know, crush a ball too. You know, against the A's. You know, a couple games ago at Goodyear Ballpark. And I think just you know, you're getting an idea what Cleveland thinks of this guy, what the opportunity he's getting. And, you know, I've heard from the front office that, you know, doesn't have enough at bats. He hasn't played enough games to really be a factor in this season on the big league club. But who knows, Joe? I mean, you know, there's a reason he's in that lineup today.
Yeah. And, you know, if he goes to and opens the season in Columbus and just sort of, just starts hitting everything and shows that next step of development needs to be at the major league level. Maybe they put him in the lineup somewhere and try to find at bats for him at the big league level. But really, the place he's going to get the most at bats and the most, you know, the biggest chance to sort of refine what he needs to is at AAA this year, I think. And you know, he probably start the season at AA and move up, but.
Yeah, I would still think he'd start the year at Double A, Joe. Yeah, definitely.
But still, he could be that guy that, you know, he could be next year's Bo Naylor, the guy that, you know, we all know needs the opportunity and just has to be given the chance. And, you know, he's sitting at Triple A, you know, just kicking the door down until he's given that chance. So, yeah, he looks pretty close, but again, there's little things that he still needs to work on, and he's going to get every chance, I think, for the remainder of this spring training to do that. So real interesting. But he was in center field. He played a few innings the other day in center field. Today he's in left. What's his in terms of his versatility? He can play pretty much anywhere in the outfield, right?
Yeah, this is a big guy, you know, 6'4", about 230, 240. You know, his college coach told me he's the best center fielder he's seen. You know, so, you know, this is a guy that can definitely, he's big enough, he's versatile, he's athletic enough to play center field, but he looks more like a corner guy to me. But, you know, I haven't seen him play that much. And, you know, he's fast, he can run. So, you know, this is a guy that I think they're just going to let him play and kind of see where he ends up in the outfield.
Cal Manzardo, meanwhile, went in for Josh Naylor yesterday, had a walk, scored a run, but he's batting Not that we care about spring training batting averages, but he's hitting 750 as well, just like DeLotter. So, you know, these are the two young bats that everybody's talking about and everybody's looking for. And Manzardo may be a little further along than quite a bit further along than DeLotter in terms of his timing for his arrival. But we could see them, you know, the two of them at some point. If not this year, then definitely at some point next year together in that Guardians clubhouse. All right. As far as, you know, we saw the lineup for today is out. Estevan Florial in center, Tyler Freeman at third, Will Brennan DHing, David Fry catching, Brian Rocchio at short, John Kenzie Noel at first, Chase DeLauder in left, Jonathan Rodriguez in right, Juan Brito at second base. As far as, you know, the left, right, and how you compose a lineup, you know, with Pablo Sandoval, the lefty on the mound, how is that going to work for Stephen Vogt, and what's his sort of philosophy on putting together a lineup day to day?
Well, this, I guess this is a spring training lineup, Joe. So, you know, this is pretty traditional. Florial, it goes left, right, left, right. Rocchio's a switch hitter, then right. Right, left, right, switch. So, you know, that's a pretty balanced lineup. But, you know, Vogt was talking about, you know, you know, they have so many left-handed hitters, you know, on the roster that, you know, his goal, he said, is to beat the starting pitcher, the opposing starting pitcher. And if he has to hit two or three or four left-handers in a row, if that gives him and the Guardians the best chance of beating the opposing starter, that's what he's going to do. And then I guess he would switch it up later in the game with pitch hitters. You know, it kind of reminds me, Joe, of Manny Acta when he took over the club. There were times when he had, like, I believe it was 7 or 8 or 9 left-handed hitters in the lineup. That's all they had for him were lefties. So, you know, I don't think we're going to see anything that extreme, but it gives you a look at how a Vogt's mind works.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how that goes. And and he'll definitely have, you know, help in terms of, you know, just the voices talking to him about how he puts that lineup together. But ultimately, when he hands the card in, that's his signature on it. So we'll see how Stephen Vogt likes to, you know, what his tendencies are. And I'm sure after the first couple of months, we'll get a good picture of what he likes to do when it comes to putting together a lineup. All right, Hoynsie, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. We'll check back in with you again tomorrow.
All right, Joe.